You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Stéphane Dion was elected leader of the Liberal Party at last weekend's party convention. Dion was first elected to the House of Commons in a 1996 by-election. He was appointed Minister of Intergovernmental Affairs in Jean Chrétien's government. He was subsequently dropped from cabinet when Paul Martin took over, but then returned in the summer of 2004 as Minister of the Environment. Dion is known for his strong support of the Kyoto Accord and for his equally strong federalist approach to Quebec. He's less known for his views on economics. Jim Stanford is an economist with the Canadian Auto Workers Union. He's currently on sabbatical in Australia, but he's keeping a close eye on Canadian politics. I spoke with Jim Stanford yesterday about what is known of Dion's economic platform, and I began by asking him what his reaction was when he heard that Stéphane Dion had won.
Well, I guess my first and most dominant reaction was relief that Michael Ignatieff didn't win, that's for sure. I didn't want to see him there with all his views about the war and foreign policy and so on. Dion himself, obviously a very interesting candidacy. He was not supported by the establishment of the party, who were either going to Ignatieff or to Bob Rae. So in that sense, I guess it was a triumph for the grassroots. The fact that he has put environment at the center of his platform, I think, is interesting and positive. Although, you know, liberals are liberals, so we'll have to see what comes of it. But I think just in terms of raising environment to the top of the policy priority list, that was positive. So I think it will make things very interesting. There's a lot of risks electorally. With having Dion there in terms of trying to defeat Harper in the next election, but I think there's some interesting possibilities.
To what extent do you think a leadership race like this is fought on the issues?
Well, not too much on the issues, actually. Certainly, you know, there were some policy platforms going around and so on, but a lot of it boils down to personality, to charisma, to leadership, and to electability. And even on that score, I guess Dion's victory was quite surprising, because he is obviously not the most charismatic guy. Yet, I guess the fact that he was seen as a principled politician and ended up helping him in the end. Perhaps it was kind of an anti-charisma that appealed to people. He certainly does break the mold of the usual political leader, that's for sure.
Now you're an economist, and I know that you're interested in what Dion might be going to say about economics. What has he said so far?
I guess on economic issues, Dion, like pretty well all the Liberal leadership candidates, didn't say very much about economics and the economy. His main policy thrusts were in the environment, as I mentioned, and also on the national unity question. He did have an economic, I guess, manifesto, you could say, that mentioned the need for greening Canada's economy and the need to stimulate more research and development spending. But it was pretty bare bones stuff. I don't think he had a lot there. So the column that I had in the Globe and Mail about Dionomics, if you can say that, was, I think, more speculative, trying to guess where he might be going on economic issues as opposed to where he's actually been so far.
So where do you think he might be going?
I think that's a bit of an open book. As I mentioned, because he did come from the outside of the party establishment, there's no one who can really call the shots, per se. His economic advisor was Doug Peters, who's a very interesting guy. He's a former chief economist at the Toronto Dominion Bank, who at one point was a junior cabinet minister under Paul Martin, but then kind of fell out during the years of the Martin cuts and all that. He was Dion's main economic advisor, which is an interesting choice. One thing about Dion's economic platform was that it didn't talk very much about tax cuts, which was interesting. Given, you know, how for certainly the conservatives and for a lot of liberals, tax cuts are the medicine that fixes anything that ails you, right? And Dion was not there. So I think to a large extent, Dion's economic vision is an empty slate. And there will be a bit of a, I guess, probably a controversy and a bit of a struggle now as to how to fill in the details of that slate.
Now, presumably a Canada led by Stéphane Dion would rejoin Kyoto and maybe even reverse some of Stephen Harper's cuts to environment protection. Do you think he might go further than this?
Oh, I think he definitely would. Yeah, that would be the no-brainers that you would do immediately, and I'm sure that Liberals will emphasize this in their election campaign, assuming we have an election sometime this year, as everyone is expecting. They will emphasize rejoin Kyoto, undo the cutbacks that Harper has already implemented to environmental programs. But Dion certainly will go further than that. He'll, I imagine, have some kind of a carbon trading plan for Canada. He'll put more money on the table in terms of stimulus for more sustainable investments and new technology and that kind of thing. So he will have to do that just to be credible, because everyone recognizes the former Liberal government's own Kyoto plan. While it was excellent that we were part of Kyoto, their plan was very, very mushy and wasn't being very effective at all. So to have any credibility at all with environmental voters, Dion will have to go much further than that, and that opens up some interesting possibilities.
And my understanding also about the government's commitment to the environment was there was a good deal more on paper than there was actually happened.
Under the former Liberals, that was certainly the case. And I think under the former Liberal government, they were trying to, I guess, in a way, have the best of both worlds. They were trying to look like Liberals for the public relations perspective. And, you know, let's be real, the fact that Canada did endorse Kyoto was a very important victory. The corporate powers in Canada were dead set against that. But on the other hand, they wouldn't sort of put their money where their mouths were, certainly in terms of any of the kind of regulations on the corporate sector, especially the energy industry. That's where the main problem is. The Liberals were not willing to do that. Now, whether Dion's Liberals will be willing to do that, I think is a question. I certainly wouldn't count on it. The Liberals are still going to try and portray themselves as a business-friendly party. On the other hand, the regional dynamics of it all might help as well. And remember, Dion is from Quebec. He faces a challenge to rebuild the Liberals' credibility in Quebec. Quebec is the most environment-friendly province in the country, and the Liberals have nothing to lose in Alberta, right? They have no base at all in Alberta. So maybe you'll finally have a government, assuming that they win, that comes out and says, this is what we have to do. The energy industry, these oil sands plants that they're building in Alberta are just blowing out our Kyoto targets. So we have to do something real here. They would have, they'd be beating the drums in Alberta, but the Liberals have nothing to lose there.
Now, Conservative Finance Minister Jim Flaherty has said that he wants to spend the money that's been freed up by the reduction in the federal debt on tax cuts. Are there any indications in anything that Dion has said as to how he might spend that extra money?
No, in fact, I found it quite intriguing that in his whole economic platform, he hardly mentioned tax cuts at all. The only thing he mentioned was a couple of very targeted measures to promote more research and development spending by Canadian companies. You know that Canada's economy is very weak on the R&D side, mostly because our companies here, both Canadian and foreign-owned, just don't do any research and development spending, despite all the huge tax incentives and tax cuts that they've received over the years. So the fact that Dion wasn't beating the tax cut drum was interesting. Finance Minister Flaherty has got this whole long-term vision now that he announced. It's called his Advantage Canada Plan, clearly modeled on Alberta's old Alberta Advantage, or whatever it was called, Advantage Alberta Plan, in terms of even more tax cuts, more deregulation, more privatization, more free trade. So Flaherty has certainly lined out a very, very right-wing, pro-business vision for the long-term development of Canada's economy, and if anything, I think that will present a bit of an easy target for Dion in this election to come up with something more balanced.
Now, the Liberal Party has pursued neoliberal economic policies enthusiastically since Paul Martin was finance minister. Is there any reason, do you think, to suppose that they're going to abandon that approach under Dion?
I don't think they would abandon it at all. I think they would clearly remain a party that's broadly committed to the status quo in terms of the role of the private sector and the dominance of business. On the other hand, I think there are some important changes that are afoot. Number one, corporate Canada's favorite party is clearly now the Conservatives, and that's a difference. Before when the right-wing parties were divided, corporate Canada's favorite party was the Liberals. right now, the Liberals are not winning support financially or politically from the corporate elites here. So that could lead to a bit of a shift in the politics and make the Liberal campaign a bit more of an outsider campaign. Also, the fact simply that Harper and Flaherty have tried to shift things so far to the right at a time when so many people are questioning everything of that vision, from support for U.S. wars to abandoning Kyoto to the inequality that we see in our economy. I think that will tend to push the Liberals to the left a bit, along with just the electoral math of it all. You know, for the Liberals to defeat Harper, they have to focus their guns on Harper and try and portray themselves as a more sort of inspiring progressive alternative, especially with the Greens on the scene now. So I think all of those things make for an interesting brew. I wouldn't trust the Liberals as far as I could throw them once they're in power, but getting Harper out of power would be a step forward, and particularly if the Liberals are in a minority situation, then that's where the NDP and perhaps the Greens could play a more effective role, certainly than they're doing right now with Harper in power.
What will you be looking for in an upcoming election campaign, supposing, as you say, that we do have one soon, which seems likely?
Yeah, all the pundits seem to be suggesting it will be sometime this fall. I think we'll see. I think we'll see a pretty all-out battle between different visions of the country. Flaherty and Harper have tried to put a sort of more middle-of-the-road sheen on their platform, but this Advantage Canada vision is so firmly right-wing, pro-business that everyone, I think, will know what they stand for. And then the Liberals will, in their own way, try and put out an alternative that's, you know, not a left-wing alternative by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly not this hard right neoliberal vision that we'll have from the Tories. And that will be a very important confrontation. Then you'll have the NDP. What they do, I think, is anybody's guess. They, I think, will be tempted to run against the Liberals again, as they did in the last election, because they'll view that as the main threat to their particular seats, as opposed to the main threat to the country. And then the Greens have got a significant showing now with Elizabeth May, their new leader, and they could make a difference. So it is going to be a very fascinating and very important election when it comes.
I spoke yesterday with Jim Stanford, economist for the Canadian Auto Workers Union.